We're going to encourage you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John in chapter 5. And we will wrap up John chapter 5 here this morning. I pray that it has been a profitable chapter as we have gleaned from these deep, abiding, eternal truths the glory and the wonder and the majesty of Christ Jesus. And as Jesus declared to these Jews, these Pharisees, of exactly who he is, and they still rejected him. They still could not comprehend. They still could not fathom or wrap their minds around the things that Jesus was saying, that he was God, that he was equal with God, and that all that the Father had given him to do, he has come to do. He judges as the Father calls him to judge, and he has all power and all authority, and the Pharisees just would not accept any of that. And here as we wrap up chapter 5, we see, you know, again, Jesus holding them in contempt for their disbelief. I want you to look in verse 41 to the end of the chapter. As John recorded for us here, John chapter 5, verse 41, Jesus says, "I receive not honor from men." He said, "But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will you receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Here, as we look in verse 41, Jesus says, "I receive not honor." That word honor is doxa in the Greek. It also means glory. It could also mean a divine quality, the unspoken manifestation of God, or it could also speak of God's splendor. And so Jesus was saying to these Jews, "I receive not glory, I receive not honor from men." Jesus has this divine quality, this divine glory, this divine manifestation of God, this divine splendor in and of himself, because he is the full embodiment of the Godhead. We saw that as the Apostle Paul exclaimed that there in the book of Colossians. Here, Christ Jesus before these individuals claiming his divinity, his superiority, his power, his authority, all of these things, they are looking at Jesus, but yet they are not giving him the glory that he deserves. This glory, Luke made reference to it in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Here at the announcement of Christ's birth, and the angels broke out in praise at the Savior's birth, they proclaimed in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels proclaimed the glory that Christ brought to the earth. This favorable opinion of who Christ is, the angels beheld his glory and they announced his glory at his birth. This word indicates God's worth and value. This word glory exclaims the weightiness of who God is. God's worth and his value is understood in the person, in the face, and in the work of Christ Jesus. The weightiness of that, the value of looking at the incarnate God, God in the flesh, and they were blinded to it. What happens when you are able to behold Christ's glory? You can't but testify about it. You can't help but seeing and be in wonder of who Christ is. The angels, in all of their ability to see Christ, they broke out in song, in praise, in adoration of who Christ is, because they knew him. You and I, we were blinded to this before Christ saved us. And now that you've been awakened to life and you've been given spiritual eyes to see and a heart to receive, ears to hear of this wonderful truth, to behold the beauty of Christ, it is right that we sing. It is an act of adoration. It's proclaiming the worth, the value, the weightiness, the splendor of all that Christ is. There should be something of that that resonates in our heart, especially as we read the scriptures or we hear the word proclaimed as it is being taught or preached. Jesus' glory was seen when he turned the water into wine. In John chapter 2, verse 11, which we've already covered, we read, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee." It says, "And he manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." You see, all of us, we were created. Man from the very beginning was created in God's image so that we would show forth his glory, his splendor. Man was given this responsibility to multiply and to fulfill, to fill the earth so that the earth would be full of the knowledge of the glory of God, so that it would cover the face of the sea like the waters, or cover the face of the earth like the waters cover the sea. But ever since the fall of man, ever since sin entered our world, people have refused to show forth the glory of Jesus. But here, in God, in his mercy and his grace, brought forth Jesus. Man, from the very beginning, was created in God's image, again, to show forth that glory. It wasn't just Israel's responsibility. It was all man, but we have failed. You think about in the days of Noah, and man was doing what? All that was right in their own eyes. They completely failed to show forth the glory of God. I believe we are seeing in our current culture man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Much like in the book of Habakkuk, where Habakkuk spoke about the law that was slack, the law that was frozen, the law that wasn't going forth. The people were not being accountable for their sin, but then God meted out judgment because they were not showing forth his glory. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, "Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we are to do as to what? To the glory of God." Everything, every aspect about us, every fiber of our being, we are to show forth God's glory. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, we read, "We are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works," and what, church? Glorify our Father which is in heaven. That is the purpose for which we are created. That is the very reason why we are here. That is why we gather in church this morning, is that we would sing praises to Jesus, the one who reigns, and to show forth his glory into all the world. But all too often, church, it's like it's entombed here in these four walls. It's locked in here. But we are to show forth his glory into all the world, to all of Gallia County. You know, here to these Jews, it was inconsequential what the Jews, the Pharisees, or the scribes, what they thought about Jesus. We do not add to the glory of the Savior. Christians do not add to the glory that Jesus already has. The glory of Christ has already been settled for eternity in the heavens. And those whose eyes have been opened have been given this great privilege, this great honor to behold his glory. Our spiritual eyes, when they are opened by the gospel, they see and they rejoice in the glory that Christ has with the Father. We don't add to that glory. Christ is full. He is complete. There's perfect glory amongst the Trinity, the triune God of the universe. We don't add to it. We just show forth his glory to others. But here, Jesus, though the Jews could not add to his glory and could not enhance it in any way. Jesus had all glory in and of himself. That which was given to him of the Father. Jesus said here in verse 42, speaking to these Jews, he says, but I know you. We spoke on this just a little bit a while back, but there was a point in time when God the Father, he looked at your wretchedness, your depravity, and your sin, and he said, I know you. That's a scary thought. That's a sobering thought to know that God, the ultimate judge of all of eternity and of all of heaven and all of earth, he knows you. And he saw you. There was nothing hidden from his eyes. You're completely laid bare and open before the God of the universe, much like the thieves on the cross, their sin and their shame, not only open before all the world as they hung up on the cross, dying before the world of men, their sin and their shame laid open before the God of the universe. Jesus told these people, I know you. Man's perception of Jesus does not diminish nor does it enhance the divine nature of the sovereign glory that Christ has with the Father. But here, these Pharisees, these individuals here, unlike Jesus, their standing in society, their rank and their file, if you will, was incumbent upon what people thought about them, what people said about them, and upon the number of disciples that followed them. If you were listening there as we were reading through the chapter 12 of John, many of the Pharisees believed in Jesus, but they didn't what? They didn't confess him. Why? Because they esteemed the praises of men. They wanted the praises of men. Here, their perception of Jesus was that he was a blasphemer. They did not believe the witness that Jesus had in and of himself. They did not believe the witness that God the Father gave to Jesus. They did not believe the witness of the miracles. They deemed him a blasphemer, someone who needed to die a blasphemer's death. But Jesus didn't need the witness of the Pharisees. Jesus was altogether different from the Pharisees and scribes. Jesus had received the testimony of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, and that is the ultimate of all honors. That is the highest of all praise. Jesus said to these Pharisees, again, he says, I know you. I know you. That you do not have the love of God in you. Last week, we mentioned how the Pharisees would literally wear the scriptures about their person. They would place these small portions of scriptures in these little boxes, and they would tie them about their forehead. They would tie them about their hands. They would tie them so that they would hang down over their hearts, and as if somehow that would make them righteous or holy. They thought that this made them acceptable before God, but they were not righteous. They were not holy. They were far from it. Not only were they not righteous, not only were they not holy, Jesus said, you do not have God's word in your heart. I mean, you think about that. They had it about their person. They had it on their forehead, their hands, about their heart, but they did not have it in their heart. Again, Jesus said to them, I know you. Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew the thoughts and the intents of their heart. He knew that they were hypocrites. He knew that they were liars. There was nothing hidden from Jesus. The world around the Pharisees, they might have been fooled, but not Jesus. Jesus told them he saw and he knew that the Pharisees did not have the love of God, but rather they loved themselves. They were impressed by how holy they were. What pride. Jesus said in verse 43, he says, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. In verse 44, he says, how can you believe which receive honor of one another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? the Jews did not accept Jesus' testimony that he was of God or that he was from God or that he was God. And in their actions, the actions of the Pharisees, they proved that they did not believe the testimony of Jesus. But it wasn't that they just rejected the Savior. They accused him. They accused the God who was come in the flesh. What did they accuse him of? Of blaspheme. They did not see, they did not recognize who Jesus was. Why? Jesus said, because they were not of God. They did not have the love of God in their hearts. These Pharisees, these scribes, these Jews, they were blind. They were foolish, ignorant men who chose prestige, popularity, and accolades of men over the relationship with Jesus. We cited Matthew chapter 23, verse 5 last week, but it bears worth repeating. It says, but all their works they do for what? To be seen of men. Again, in John chapter 12, verse 43, we read they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. These men were so caught up in themselves and their self-worth that they were completely blind to the God who stood before them. How could they be so blind? How could they miss it? How could they miss all that Christ had done and still render him as less than God? How could they? Because of pride, because of arrogance. Jesus said he did not come in his own name. He did not come to make a name for himself. He did not come to build some great following of people for himself or to set up a powerful earthly kingdom. He did not come to seek glory from men, but rather to do the will of the Father and to bring glory to him. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, we read, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As God, Jesus had every right to claim equality with God. Yet in his incarnate state as man, he did not come seeking power. He came to glorify the Father. Jesus did not exalt himself, though he had every right to. Instead of exalting himself, he humbled himself. The author of Hebrews chapter 2, or the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He was made lower than the angels. He took upon himself the form of a man. The sovereign, holy God of the universe condescended down to man and clothed upon himself flesh. The author of Hebrews, again, in order that he would taste death for every man. Paul in Philippians said that he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. This Savior came so that you might live. Christ Jesus, God in the flesh, came, clothed himself in flesh so that he would taste death for every man. He lowered himself and became obedient even to dying on the cross. No, Jesus wasn't just a man looking for glory and fame here on earth. Jesus came to bring glory to the Father, and the Father has exalted the name of Jesus above every name. And though the multitudes refuse to give Jesus glory here on earth, there is a day that is coming where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Many refuse him now, but they'll recognize him later. These Jews here in our text accuse him of blaspheming, and they failed to recognize his divinity, but they too will one day bow before the God and the universe. They'll bow before Jesus, and they will confess the one they once denied. They will confess that Jesus was, in fact, the Lord. Jesus' testimony of himself was verifiable by many miracles that he had done. The witness of the Father and through the John the Baptist and the word that was taught by Jesus, that should have been enough to persuade these men that Jesus was who he claimed to be. But Jesus says they did not receive his testimonies nor his miracles. But these men, what did they do? They welcomed the testimony of others. They were willing to accept another who came in his own name seeking glory for himself. In verse 44, Jesus said, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only?" You see, these Pharisees and scribes, their false piety, their false holiness, these men that Jesus said were whitewashed tombs, whited walls but full of dead men's bones, they gave this perception to the world that they were holy, righteous people. They did not desire God's glory. They desired their own glory. They desired to heap up on themselves and one another titles and honor for their own glory. They received those who were of nobility, those who were of wealth, those who were influential, those who were powerful. Why? Because they wanted to be a part of the in crowd. They wanted to rub shoulders with the elites, and Jesus did not fit their mold. We see this in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 and 3. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He, Jesus, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Jesus was not something that the Pharisees wanted to align with. They wanted someone powerful. They wanted someone with authority. They wanted someone with great means, and they did not recognize who Christ was. You know, again, the next statement that Jesus made was indicative of the corrupt nature of these men. They could not believe in Jesus. Why? Because they were blind. They were blind by their own pride. They wanted all the honor for themselves. They were jealous of Jesus. They saw the works that he had done, and they had heard the testimony from others about Jesus, and people were beginning to follow him, and the Pharisees hated him for it. And here, in order to follow Jesus, we must deny ourselves, church. There is no true believing without recognizing the glory that Christ Jesus has. Jesus, again, is the express image of the Father. Jesus is glory revealed. We see this in John chapter 1, beginning verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." When you look upon Jesus, you do not give him more glory. You recognize his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." These men that we read here, that Jesus was speaking with here, guilty for rejecting Jesus, guilty for rejecting the Messiah. And they were going to be held guilty in the courtroom of the God who judges. And Jesus says here in verse 45, he says, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father." He says, "There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. These men were guilty not only of rejecting Jesus, but for failing to follow even Moses, in whom they said they were even disciples of. We see this. Go ahead and turn with me, if you will, in John chapter 9. Very familiar chapter here. Very familiar account. These Jews here, they thought that they had life. They thought that they had righteousness as they followed the writings of Moses. They thought in the scriptures they had eternal life, meaning that they felt like they followed the letter of the law. They failed that it spoke. They failed to see that it spoke of Christ. It's an interesting account here as we look in John chapter 9, beginning verse 24. Jesus healing this blind man, and they were enraged of what was taking place. It says, then again called they the blind man, the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, speaking of Jesus, what was their perception of Jesus? A sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciples. But what did they say? We are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said to them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, thou hast altogether borne in sins, and you teach us? And they cast him out. If you listen to what David had read there in Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning verse 18, here Moses wrote prophetically this message given by God. He says, for I will raise them up a prophet among their brethren, like unto him, and he will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. What was Jesus saying all through John chapter 5? All that the Father tells me, that's what I do. All the Father gives me to say, that's what I say. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. In verse 19 it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever will listen unto my words which he will speak in my name, I will require. He which will not hearken to my words which he will speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? How should these Pharisees have known? How should they have known that Jesus truly was the Messiah, that Jesus truly was the Christ? Verse 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. A false prophet may say he's come into the name of the Lord, is going to do things in the name of the Lord, but if it does not come to pass, that is a pretty telltale sign that he was not a true servant of God. But all that the Father has given Jesus, he has done it all. That speaks of Jesus' divinity. That it speaks of all that Christ is. And here, they refused to even see in Moses' writings, they failed to see that Jesus was the Christ, and by that it was required of them because they failed to heed the word of God. The very fact that they did not see Jesus in Moses' writings was evidence that they were not true followers of Moses. They were not true disciples of the things that Moses wrote. Because Moses wrote, he spoke of the Savior. There was no hope for these men. They did not receive the words of Moses, therefore they were not about to receive the words of Jesus. And what do we, our memory verse that I know I failed to quote many times, but in John 20:31, these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. This morning, my friend, here, don't be like these Pharisees and these scribes. They had Jesus in the flesh before them, and they failed to see Christ for who he truly was. If you're not saved here this morning, my friend, run to Jesus. All these things are written in his word so that you might believe and so that you might have life in his name. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We understand that if it were not for the Holy Spirit awaking us to life, we would be like the Pharisees and the scribes. We would have been like those who rejected Jesus over and over and over again. We would have been like those who have been blinded by arrogance and pride. We would have been like those who have sought out their own way, their own righteousness, their own means of salvation. We would have been like unto them. We would have been the false Christian. We would have been the false teachers. We would have been all of those things would have been antithetical to the gospel. But yet, Father, you called us out by grace. Thank you for the eyes to see and to behold Christ in his glory. Thank you that you allow us to have your word illuminated before us so that as we look and glean throughout the scriptures, we see Christ on every page and every text, every verse, every word. It's all centralized and focused on the person and work of Christ Jesus. And Father, we know because of that we have hope in him. Lord, would you be pleased to save the lost here today, Father? That if they don't know you, that you would open up those eyes, give them ears to hear and eyes to see so that they would see Christ in all of his glory and bow before him as Savior and Lord. To the praise and the glory of your holy name, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen.